Welcome to The Buzz. I'm Christopher Conover. Short-term rental homes are a big business in Arizona's tourism communities. But is the state doing enough to keep them from becoming a nuisance? Since 2016, Arizona has, for the most part, kept the ability to regulate short-term rentals in the hands of the state government. That changed this year when Senate Bill 1168 made its way through the legislature and was signed into law by the governor. It allows some municipal regulation of homes listed for rent on websites like Airbnb and Vrbo. Municipal governments can now require that such homes be licensed, which can mean collecting homeowner information, ensuring that taxes are paid, and instituting a policy that would allow a license to be revoked if a rental home is reported to authorities 3 times in a year for violations of things like noise ordinances. But some municipalities see the new law as lacking. They want more latitude to regulate short-term rentals, so they can ensure that they don't take up too much of the local housing stock. The first city to try to take action on reducing its short-term rental stock since SB 1168 passed is Sedona. Last month, its city council approved a plan that would pay homeowners as much as $10,000 a year to rent a home for months at a time rather than days. To learn about Sedona's new plan and its short-term rental problem, we spoke with the city's mayor, Sandy Moriarty.
Well, I will call them vacation rentals because that's more descriptive of what they are. I ran into somebody the other day. I was going down to the Historical Society Museum to meet the executive director candidate who talked to a realtor, and he said, I'm looking for a short-term rental. And that's like a four-letter word in Sedona sometimes, you know. So he said, but I just meant that I need some place to stay until I find long-term housing. I like to call them vacation rentals because that is more descriptive of what they actually are. In other words, they're occupied by visitors to the area. They are not residents, and because they're not residents, they're not neighbors. But they're in a neighborhood for the most part, not all of them, but most of them are actually in neighborhoods. Sedona did have a ban on short-term rentals. I'm not going to say there were no short-term rentals when we had our ban in place, but I know there were. But let's just say it's maybe 100 at least, maybe more than that. On our last report for July, as of the end of July, we had 978 properties. And I believe the total housing inventory is about maybe 6,600, something like that.
That's a significant percentage.
Yeah, it's almost 15%. I'm guessing that's a higher percent than almost any place else in the state. Before I became the mayor, I was on the housing commission in Sedona, and I know we always had a problem with trying to house workers in Sedona because when your town depends on hospitality, those aren't the highest paying wages around. And so you need places for people to live, for workers to live, and a range of workers, not just in the hospitality industry, but everything else in town. And yet most people, if they're not directly in the hospitality industry, they have a relationship to it. So let's say they work for Staples or something. Well, Staples has a lot of customers that are hotels and restaurants and then who are involved in the tourism industry. We don't expect to be able to house everyone, but it would be nice if we could house more than we do. And I think among the Verde Valley cities and towns, and there are 5 of them, Sedona is no longer the biggest population-wise because we lost population in the last 10 years.
So you all have a new program in place to try and deal with this. Tell us again, in case our listeners down here in southern Arizona aren't familiar with what the change is.
Yes, actually, we just talked about it for the first time at the city council meeting last time, and boy, did word get out. We've had a lot of calls about it. It is a program that will convert short-term rentals or vacation rentals back into long-term rentals, and we want to incentivize that, and so it's called Rent Local, and it's a pilot program, and the goal is to increase the number of long-term rentals available to the workforce by offering cash incentives to the homeowners in exchange for long-term leases to locals.
So is this the only thing that you have tried? I'm guessing not. That you've probably tried some other things, or are there some other things on the table that may come up to deal with these vacation rentals?
You know, I don't know what we can do, because the governor and legislator have told us we can't. We can't regulate them in any way. We can't ban them. We can't regulate them. So we have no way to manage them.
Sedona and the next closest city, Cottonwood, I understand, are sharing a housing manager. So is this a regional issue?
Absolutely, it's a regional issue. It's just not as bad in the rest of the Verde Valley, because property land is lower priced in the rest of the Verde Valley. Sedona's always been the highest priced, and it's always been a problem. So we've had housing shortages in Sedona back when I was on the Housing Commission too, and we've always had the biggest affordability gap in the state. And I don't know if Department of Housing is tracking that anymore, but I can tell you it probably still is, because just property values skyrocketed after the pandemic. The beginning and the shutdown, of course, there was nobody here. You'd walk uptown and no cars on the street and nobody parked there or anything. So, of course, we thought, well, this is just going to be terrible for our economy, because we're dependent on the tourism industry. And it was bad for a month. And as soon as that month was up, people started coming back.
You said after the city council meeting, word got out about this program. So what's the word coming back? What are you hearing from people about it?
Well, I just maybe 2 hours ago read an email from our housing director talking about that. I can't quote it, my memory's not that good, but she got a lot of calls over it. I think she said 70, something like that, calls over it. And I believe we're the first in the state to do anything like this. There are other states that are doing it and have done it successfully. It's not anything we expect to make a lot of difference. It will make some difference, and that's all we can do. Until we're allowed to either put a cap on how many there can be based on the number of residential units in a city, but we can't do that. And it was discussed during the legislative session last year, and nobody could agree. And part of the problem is, while this is, in a way, Arizona is in general a state based on tourism, but not every city, and there are 91 of them, not everybody has their economy based on tourism the way Sedona does.
Some people might be surprised that you all decided to use, shall we say, the carrot rather than the stick to convince people to get out of the vacation rental business and into the long-term rental business. Have you heard from homeowners?
The mayor and the council receive emails from everybody all the time on everything. When they have a complaint, we hear about it. And we have heard some, but not a great deal. And believe me, when we considered this, because we have a citizen-led housing committee that talked about it for really months ahead of time about this concept, and we talked about that at great length, and it's really difficult to really decide what to do. And this is the main thing I think that you need to remember, is it's a pilot program. We want to see how it works. We don't expect it to never change. And we just want to put it in play and let's see what happens. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, but in some ways, but we can't know exactly how it will work until we put it in place. We can always modify it. This is true of almost any ordinance we have. We can modify it. And it's going to be different in every community. It won't work the same here as it does in Jerome or Page, and everybody has a different situation. So that's why it's very difficult to pass statewide legislation regarding vacation rentals. And so what we've always looked for is local control. That's just what we need. Every city needs to be able to find their own solution of what will work best for them.
That was Sedona Mayor Sandy Moriarty. You're listening to The Buzz. I'm Christopher Conover. We're looking at how short-term rental regulations changed in Arizona this past legislative session and why some municipalities say it's not enough. One of the supporters of Senate Bill 1168 was Airbnb. They're the largest online marketplace for booking short-term rentals. To get a better idea of how that company and its industry sees regulation, we spoke with John Choi, Airbnb's public policy manager. I started by asking how involved Airbnb gets in regulations from local governments all the way up to the federal level.
You know, we certainly do track as much of what we can across, you know, the federal level. Most of the action, quite frankly, Chris, is at the state and local level. Arizona in particular is an important market for us. We have, you know, tens of thousands of hosts in the state who rely on this extra income from renting their homes. They contribute to the state's tourism economy and support thousands and thousands of small businesses across the state. So we certainly were engaged in Arizona and will continue to be.
Airbnb supported Arizona's Senate Bill 1168, which gave cities and municipalities a little more ability to regulate short-term rentals, mostly keeps tabs on rentals and allows them to get in touch with owners. How far is too far from Airbnb's standpoint when it comes to regulating short-term rentals? Because some cities want to ban them outright and have.
That's absolutely right. There have been cities in Arizona that have tried to, that have looked at seriously banning short-term rentals completely. We know that is the, you know, the only thing preventing many of these cities from doing so is the state level regulation of this issue, which we, you know, we're supportive of. SB 1168 actually gives significant new tools to local jurisdictions that they previously didn't have under state law. That law goes into effect shortly, I think in September. And the changes are significant. The local jurisdictions have enhanced citation power with fines that are greater than previously authorized, that escalate for repeat offenders. And most importantly, a new power that has been given them is the actual ability to license at the local level, which means, importantly, that they can revoke that license if a listing or a property violates their laws. The sort of best way to think about that is a three strikes, you're out clause.
What does Airbnb do on the corporate level to make sure that the renters of the homes are, for lack of a better term, a good neighbor, you know, not too loud, parking where they're supposed to park, things like that?
It's a great question. And one of the main drivers for why we supported 1168, we had heard from city representatives in Arizona about that being a major concern, right? How do you ensure good behavior? I think there was acknowledgement on both sides that, you know, the vast majority of Airbnb hosts are good neighbors. They're already responsible. They're screening their guests. There are house rules, both for behavior inside the house as well as behavior that might, you know, impact their neighbors. What we do know is that there is a small amount of nuisance activity that sort of dominated the discussion around short-term rentals. I think there was mutual agreement on both sides, both from the short-term rental industry, certainly from Airbnb's perspective, as well as these local policymakers, that we needed to do more to address that behavior, because essentially creating a bad name for the entire industry, and nobody wanted to see that happen. And so that's why we worked on this legislation together and really hammered out the details that we think strikes a good balance of being able to allow responsible hosts to continue while giving cities these enhanced powers. In addition to the legislation, you know, we take steps on our own side to address this activity specifically. We recently codified a ban on parties across the globe on our platform, which was, you know, we had initially announced a few years ago as a temporary policy, but now have made that official standing policy around the world. And specifically in Arizona, as a result of this policy, we've seen a 55% year-over-year drop in the number of party complaints that we've seen since the introduction of that policy originally in 2020. The second thing that we've done is, you know, we just recently, actually just last week, announced the introduction of new anti-party tools in the U.S. and Canada to help identify potentially high-risk reservations and to prevent those users from taking advantage of our platform.
We spoke earlier to the mayor of Sedona, Arizona, and she said about 14% of the homes in her city now are short-term rentals, and the lack of homes for rent is bad enough that the city is going to offer property owners up to $10,000 a year to convert from short-term to long-term rentals. Is Airbnb concerned at all for places where short-term rentals are so popular that they they're taking a big chunk out of the long-term housing stock?
Well, I would say, you know, affordability and being able to afford to stay in your home and is at the core of where Airbnb started. The company, you know, the genesis of the company started during the last recession when two of the co-founders couldn't make rent, and that's still true today, right? People use this money they earn from hosting on Airbnb to supplement their own income. And when it comes to, you know, housing concerns, it's a debate and discussion that's happening all across the country, right? Not just in Sedona, not just in Arizona. And I think what Airbnb has done is tried hard to be part of the solution. We've seen policies that we've adopted internally at the company that we've announced that have made real impacts, right? We've banned new listings that were rental properties previously and had a recent tenant eviction. We've actually blocked them from listing on our platform because we want to make sure that that there are protections in place for renters, particularly as, you know, jurisdictions are looking at, you know, eviction moratoriums and whatnot. We've also proactively supported a number of housing initiatives across the country that are actually generating and creating new affordable housing. I think that for the most part, experts in the housing, you know, space agree that the biggest driver of housing affordability and lack of housing has really been a failure of development, housing development, to keep up with population growth. And that's something that's been generated over years and if not decades of time. And so, you know, we've tried to be part of that solution by supporting efforts in cities across the country to actually build and develop more housing.
What do you think the future of the short-term rental industry is? Obviously, it has changed over time. As you said, it was something kind of new that got popular in the last recession and has certainly grown. So what do you think the future is?
It's hard to predict, but what I can tell you from today's perspective is that, you know, over the last 10 years, short-term rental has gone from a small, you know, burgeoning industry to now being part of the mainstream, right? Consumers are looking for local, affordable, and authentic accommodations when they travel, whether that's for a vacation or whether that's for a work rotation or whether they're looking to move into a new city. And, you know, we think that the short-term rentals have shown that they play a critical part of the accommodations options that people have to consider when they're making those decisions. And we know that now, if you look across the country, short-term rentals are legalized in every major city in the country. It's almost every major city around the world. And, you know, the industry will continue to play a key part of the hospitality mix in these cities, both big, medium, and small.
That was John Choi, public policy manager for Airbnb. To wrap up today's show, we spoke with State Senator J.D. Mesnard. He co-sponsored Senate Bill 1168, allowing some local regulation of short-term rentals. I started our conversation by asking him where the idea for his bill came from.
So we've been getting a lot of complaints from angry neighbors for the few bad apples out there that were causing a ruckus, typically termed party houses. And it wasn't new. We've seen this over the last few years as Airbnb and VRBO and others have become a mainstay. People are familiar with them. More and more people use them. And unfortunately, not every owner is a good neighbor. I think the vast majority are, but some are not. And so when you hear enough of, you know, these complaints coming in, I know the cities were frustrated because, you know, state law did restrict what they could do. And so this was trying to strike that right balance, a middle ground, allowing for additional regulations to crack down on these party houses, but without negatively impacting the industry that really does create a lot of jobs.
I've covered legislatures long enough. I know all about stakeholder meetings and things like that. I'm guessing you had some stakeholder meetings. When we know what the cities wanted and we know what the neighbors to the party houses wanted, but when you were talking with Airbnb and VRBO, what did they want in all of this?
I think there was a lot of concern that if you loosen the reins too much, that some cities would try to shut them down altogether. That, you know, some of the voices that are worked up about the party houses would be louder than those that are frankly doing good for the community by providing a place for folks to come and stay. So there was concern that they'd be put out of business and that a lot of jobs were on the line. That made them at the table very interested in preserving the ability to do these short-term rentals.
In 2016, you were in the House back then. The state banned cities, municipalities from regulating short-term rentals. That bill passed bipartisan. This year, your bill that put the ability for municipalities to put some level of regulation back in passed on a bipartisan level. What change do you think? And it's bipartisan. Again, I know things pass bipartisan, but we don't hear about it very often.
That's true. We actually do agree far more often than we disagree, but it's just not as much drama and thus not as much entertainment, I guess, to some people. But you know, this bill was a couple years in the making. Last year's version crashed and burned. It was one of my biggest failures on a floor vote, actually, in my entire tenure in the legislature. It sailed out of the Senate and then crashed and burned in the House. And it was just because to some it went too far, to some it didn't go far enough. But in terms of what changed, you know, 2016, this was new. It's amazing to think that that wasn't really just, what, 6 years ago. But Airbnb, VRBO existed, I think, before, but Airbnb was just coming onto the scene in a way where it was becoming familiar to people and a new way to travel and to have a place to stay when you travel. And so we wanted to make sure it wasn't quashed by bureaucratic red tape. We have seen examples of that before. We'd seen it with other, you know, sort of sharing economies like Uber and Lyft. Folks getting a little too bureaucratic, a little too regulatory happy. And so we wanted to make sure that didn't happen. And so I think it was the right call in 2016, but we always adjust, we adapt as we see issues unfold, then we want to come back and be able to respond. And that's what this bill was about.
What do you say to those municipalities that want more control over regulating this kind of property use? You know, we have the example of Sedona that banned short-term rentals prior to 2016, and places like Paradise Valley that want an owner to explain all the local rules to the renters in person. What do you say to those municipalities?
So I would say those two municipalities have definitely been the most challenging. I do think they have, you know, unique issues. The problem is when we're trying to create a statewide approach, when you have a patchwork of regulations, it typically interferes with economic growth. People have a hard time figuring out, okay, which law and which municipality, of which we have over 90, do I have to comply with? So we do try to, you know, allow for, you know, more broad-based laws that are predictable and intuitive. Even so, we did allow for some degree of autonomy in the bill. So again, it was trying to strike that right balance, knowing that cities would obviously prefer to go much further. I've not ever seen a city come to me and say, hey, take away our flexibility. They typically don't do that. But sometimes the state does step in and say, you know, for the state of Arizona, these are going to be the rules across the board.
We talked with Sedona's mayor for this program, and she says short-term rentals make up about 14% now of that city's limited housing stock. And we checked with census listings and data from a company called AirDNA that tracks rentals like Airbnb. And we found Page had some similar percentages. And about a quarter of the houses in Pine Top, Lakeside, are vacation rentals. Are those concerning numbers for you in a housing market that's a little wonky, to say the least, right now, that some decent numbers aren't available for people who want to live and work, especially in some smaller towns?
Yeah, I think it's something to watch. But the truth is, whenever you have a new industry pop onto the scene, there's going to be an adjustment period. And really, that's why we passed the law in 2016, was to create some stability during that adjustment period. Because if you adjust too quickly, you can really snuff out something that's coming onto the scene. So I do think it's legitimate to watch it. Eventually, though, you'll reach an equilibrium of sorts, where you're going to have that balance between owners and between, you know, longer term rentals as well as short term rentals. The market is still in flux, and obviously we're sensitive to the housing shortage and the sky high prices. Even that, though, you're starting to see turn, and so I do get concerned when we have knee-jerk reactions to things. I'm perfectly willing to acknowledge that, hey, 14%, we need to watch that. But I don't want to just have an immediate reaction. I want to have a little bit more of a long-term picture before we take action.
Do you see a day possibly where, if that trend continues, especially in smaller places, a day where maybe the legislature comes back and says, okay, we're going to cap the number of short-term rentals statewide in each municipality at insert whatever the agreed percentage is here?
So I'd be really hesitant to go down that road. It might solve one problem or appear to solve one problem and then create other issues. That was one of the sticking points, this idea of density. And it's sort of one of those issues that remains out there outside of what was even kind of an agreement to not continue to come back every year and try to, you know, tweak and fix and everything without broad agreement. But the density issue does remain. I think we need to give this law a few years to see how it unfolds, watch the percentages we're seeing in the city, see what happens to the markets with the changing interest rates and inflation and everything else happening in the economy. And then we can assess and make the best decision at that time.
All right, Senator. Well, thanks for spending some time with us and hopefully enlightening our audience a little on the process and how this bill came about.
Happy to do it. Thank you for having me.
That was State Senator J.D. Mesnard, who co-sponsored SB 1168. And that's The Buzz for this week. You can find all our episodes online at azpm.org and subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for The Buzz, Arizona. We're also on the NPR One app. Zach Ziegler is our producer with production help from Samantha Larnett. Our music is by Enter the Haggis. I'm Christopher Conover. Thanks for listening.
Arizona Public Media's original programming is made possible in part by the Community Service Grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.